AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. With heavy snow and blizzard-like conditions, it's tough to get around in much of the upper Midwest. This woman is stuck in Minneapolis trying to get to Dallas.
I went up to the flight desk and I asked them for a travel voucher because that's what the customer representative on the phone told me to. And then they laughed in my face.
WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen on a storm that's sweeping in from the west that will have some staying power.
The state of Minnesota is going to see blizzard warnings that continue right through the day today. It could be a 2-3 day event of snowfall that will be accompanied by strong gusty winds and blizzard conditions, putting down anywhere from a foot to 2 feet of snow.
Overseas, it's the final day of President Biden's overseas trip. He's in Poland.
The president met here with the Bucharest Nine, the group of NATO leaders whose countries are closest to Russia.
As NATO's eastern flank, you're on the front lines of our collective defense, and you know better than anyone what's at stake in this conflict.
Asked by a reporter for his view of Russia suspending its participation in the New START nuclear arms treaty, Mr. Biden said Vladimir Putin is making a big mistake. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Warsaw.
The forewoman on the Georgia grand jury that recommended charges against more than a dozen people in the Trump 2020 election investigation is speaking out. Emily Kors tells CNN.
I'm not the judge, I'm not the lawyers, but I will be frustrated if nothing happens. There was just too much for this to just be, oh, okay, we're good, bye.
Kors has not specified in interviews if an indictment is recommended against the former president. A new estimate finds the country could face an unprecedented default on its obligations as soon as early June if Congress does not act to lift the debt limit. That projection from the Bipartisan Policy Center says the U.S. will reach the limit as soon as summer or early fall. Well, the government's pressuring the Norfolk Southern Rail Line to pay for the cleanup of the toxic rail derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. CBS's Roxana Sabiri tells us former President Trump is due to visit there today.
He is expected to meet with members of the community and with local officials. East Palestine schools are closed in preparation for his visit. I have talked to residents to see if they're excited for his visit. They do say that many of them are fans of the former president.
Amazon has closed on its nearly $4 billion acquisition of the primary care organization One Medical. That company runs a membership-based service offering virtual care and in-person visits. Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 26 points. This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Some parts of Wisconsin could get a foot or two of snow today, tonight, and tomorrow. Northern and central Wisconsin are getting the worst of it, but the whole state is under one kind of a weather warning or another. Janet Protasiewicz is the top vote-getter in the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary. The stakes are high, and the Milwaukee County judge says she's running to save Wisconsin.
Everybody deserves a fair shot in our justice system. There should not be a thumb on the scale. Everybody deserves a fair shot, but that's not what we're getting from our Supreme Court today.
She faces Dan Kelly in what will likely be a rough and expensive race. In sports, Marquette beat Creighton last night 73-71. The Badgers host Iowa tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you'd love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson.
This is what people in Wisconsin want to know.
None of those claims are vetted. So none of those claims have actually been chased down to find out if they're true.
That's the thing. I don't like chasing things. I think that's for dogs that are on the loose. I don't like things that are vetted. I don't take my dog to the vet because you know what they have there? More needles.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy snowpocalypse, I guess, again? Didn't we just do this last week?
It seems mildly familiar, yes.
Ah, geez. Well, we're here in the studio. Hopefully we'll get home from the studio. Jane Matinair, how are you doing?
I am great, thank you. And we will be giving you updates just on accidents and stuff, and this is affecting the entire state, so no matter where you are, it's kind of a mess.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Happy Wednesday. Yeah.
Stay home if you
May
can.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
There you go.
Greg Bach is also here because it is Wednesday. How are you, mister?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired, but, you know, I got the coffee brewing. I got friends here. It's great.
It's great. Yeah. We're happy that you're here. Yeah. I'm excited to go over election results.
Ooh,
because
baby.
That happened last night.
Yes, it did.
It did.
And smashing records.
Yeah.
Smashing records of turnout for last night's spring primary, which we have been hammering home on how low turnout usually is. Because in 2021, for the state superintendent race for the primary, where there was like 10 candidates.
Yeah.
7%.
Yeah.
Last night, correct me if I'm wrong, 36%.
Yay.
Which beats the last 22 years of what the general, the highest the general turnout was in the spring was 34. So the primary beat that last night.
That's so impressive.
Which give everyone who voted, give yourself a round of applause, on the back.
How long did voting take for you? From the moment you walked out of the building, how long did it take for you?
5 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was a very important election, but it was a very fast election.
That was what was wild. Jane and I, maybe you heard us. We were
I don't listen to the show.
Primetime coverage last night from 7 to 8. We were doing a special hour of As Goes Wisconsin, the pregame. Felt like an ESPN commentator. It was great.
It was fun.
And
except for the point where I yelled for my husband to come and make a cup of tea, which apparently everyone could hear.
I think they could only hear that on the live stream.
Okay, good.
I don't think the radio listeners.
Sweet.
It's kind of like this show where if you're listening to the live stream, you may get some banter during the commercial.
Some extras.
Because that's especially if a guest is not in studio, the only way we can talk to them is by bringing their mic up, so yeah. It doesn't go out on the radio most of the time, but it does. You can hear it on the live stream, so we always have to be a little aware, especially me.
Well, it's always a good reminder for all of us.
Yes. But yes, yeah, so did he make the tea?
He did come and make his tea. Yep.
All right. Well, we are going to spend most of this hour breaking down our reactions of last night's results, obviously starting with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, also talking about Senate District 8, different mayoral races, turnout, and also asking the big question, what is going to end up being the bigger driver when it comes to issues? Because we talk a lot about, on the more liberal side, the motivating factor being abortion, democracy, redistricting. And as of yesterday, or at least this week, the two amendments, the cash bail amendment and the referenda on requirements if you're receiving welfare.
Yeah.
A judge ruled, a Dane County judge did rule that those are going to be on the ballot. So are those motivating factors? So we will get to all of that throughout this hour. We would love to hear from you and your reactions or takeaways from last night. 844-967-2789. And as Jane said, we will also be giving you weather updates, road updates, and Corey Hartman at the end of the hour is going to jump on with his infinite wisdom.
About weather.
About weather.
Yes.
And that'll take us for the full hour. So I guess my biggest takeaway, if we're going to start with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Holy crap, Janet.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, honestly, maybe you could pull this for one of our bump music.
Damn it, Janet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not really appropriate because it's like, we're like, oh, this is a, I think for the three of us would say this is a good thing, but it's just the only song I could think of with the name Janet.
Give me time.
But she got more votes than Jennifer Doro and Dan Kelly combined.
Yeah. That was actually very surprising to me that, you know, I knew even though you had two Republicans, I thought that one of the two would have come out further. Like, it would have been one of them. Like actually, I expected Daniel Kelly to make it through the primary because I feel like Jennifer Doro has fallen apart in the past couple weeks. And honestly, I'm going to say this. I think she is sitting on her couch today breathing a sigh of relief.
You think so?
I don't think she wanted the job. I don't think she wanted the job.
So I am not going to reveal names, but I had someone who is much more informed on the conservative side of politics, and I checked in with his instincts last night, and he had said she got some, in his opinion, she got some bad advice from people who were telling her it was her moment by people who did not help her prepare her for said moment. And the people with who, I mean, I heard this. I was reading this on Twitter. It's Clayfish, it's Scott Walker, it's that group that was backing her.
Right.
And so this is yet another loss for Mr. Scott Walker.
And another win for the U-Lines and Diane Hendrickson and the Koch brothers, right?
Yes.
Can't spell Walker without an L. Thank you.
The first time you said that?
That's the first time I've ever said that.
That is true, though.
That's true.
Because otherwise it's Waker.
Yeah. Whacker. But yeah, I think that Jennifer Doro is breathing a sigh of relief. I don't think, you know, maybe one day, possibly. But yeah, I've been saying this for weeks now. It just seems like she was thrown into this because she was a star for a moment. And it's a terrible way to run. And at the end of the day, you got to be able to put up with the things. I mean, within 48 hours of her announcing, they were already slamming her from Daniel Kelly's side and things were being released on her. I mean, I think she's happy.
I have no idea her relief, but it wouldn't surprise me but I think it became abundantly clear that she was not prepared.
No.
For this. And that I think it goes back to show that, like, Daniel, even though he's never won an election because he was appointed and then lost handedly to Jill Karofsky, that he is very much part of the machine, the Republican machine. Yeah. He is very much in the pocket of the U-lines.
Well, is this the new Republican machine? Because I would have thought that Walker and Clayfish and that whole group was the old Republican machine.
Well, I think that it's interesting that Walker and Clayfish supported Doro, even though Walker appointed Kelly.
He also appointed Doro.
Yeah, but
I mean,
to the Supreme Court. That's the thing, is like, why would he back out of his support of this dude?
Here's my thing. And I think this goes to the conversation that we're going to have around what issues are going to drive more people, in that abortion is still a major, could be the issue, right? Mm-hmm. And Jennifer Doro talking about that versus she is from Waukesha, the Milwaukee suburbs, the Wow counties, et cetera, and the appeal that potentially she has as a figure versus a Dan Kelly. Maybe, I mean, I think it was as much of what she represents potentially than, I mean, how she ever she was going to rule. And so, because I think Dan Kelly, and I don't know. I mean, don't you think that had Doro won, you don't think the U-Lions would have just shifted their money?
I don't know. Most likely
they don't because
I don't think they care. They just want one of their operatives there to continue the policies that make them richer. So, but Kelly, obviously the preferred candidate. I just find it interesting that even with the issues that Doro had, Dan Kelly's, like Greg pointed out, he got walloped in that race against Karofsky. And now all the information that came about him being paid by the Republican Party to investigate, you know, election fraud and all that stuff. I just think this is going to be a field day for commercial makers when the attack ads start coming up.
Because so far, what have we seen as attack ads against Protasiewicz? One, that she's partisan.
Yeah.
Two, that she's soft on crime.
Which is all the basic.
Is there anything else? I see. This is the thing. I've yet to be inundated mostly because I just don't watch basic cable.
He said that he wanted to be the most boring candidate. So I'm wondering if his commercials will reflect that, or if he's just going to, or if his campaign or an outside group will go for the whole liberals soft on crime. They don't know how to wield a gavel correctly. Their robes are made in communist China. You know, like, he wants to be boring, but I'm wondering, like, if it's because the thing is, Janet is not no one's really uncovered a ton of dirt on this person, and I don't think there's anything really, like, it's just a normal human living her life and doing her thing, and that's got to infuriate the other side, be like, we got to find one ruling that's been bad, and like, no, this has been.
I mean, I think it's going to be sentencing and stuff like that. That is, you know, maybe will motivate some people, but again, Supreme Court justices do not give sentences to people, to criminal offenses. And so the only logical extension of looking at her sentencing and no jail Janet and everything is basically if you think it ruins her credibility and her judgment, but it actually doesn't necessarily apply her application of the law.
And don't you think that Dan Kelly says that he wants to be the most boring justice so that no one will watch him and pay attention to what he's doing?
Well,
I'm boring, don't look over
here.
But
we all know that we're going to, right?
I'm boring.
I can't not look at that gigantic curly head. The thing, like, too, is it...
Hold it?
Yeah.
Because we only got 30 seconds
left? I can't see anything, so
I
don't know.
You want to tease what you're going to say?
I was just going to say that Daniel Kelly, as far as, like, he doesn't have the history to talk about. And he doesn't have the resume.
Well, he does have a resume.
But you know what I mean, though.
Yes. Okay. All right. We'll keep this rolling when we come back. If you have thoughts on the election, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Too late. And so it's true, pride comes before a fall. I'm telling you so that you won't lose all. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm warning continues until noon tomorrow. Overcast skies this afternoon with a mixture of sleet and freezing rain likely. High of 30, winds out of the east 15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Mixed precipitation likely 28. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through tomorrow with another inch Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hyatt. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and it is Wednesday, so Mr. Greg Bach is in studio. And I have to roll it back a little bit. It was 36% in Dane County.
Okay.
So I misread one of the clerks there who was congratulating how good turnout was there. But still, we still had record turnout. It just wasn't 36%.
We'll take it.
Yeah, this is from Scott Bauer. Turnout in Wisconsin spring primary, where a Supreme Court race was the only statewide contest, nears 21% of voting age population based on unofficial totals. This is the highest turnout for a spring primary in at least the past 20 years. It was 16% in 2020, 12% in 2018.
Hey, we'll take it.
We'll take it. Yeah, so I just wanted to correct myself because I, you know, got new information. So roll it back. So, Greg, we are talking about the election results from last night. We're still talking about the biggest race, the statewide race, Wisconsin Supreme Court, where Janet Protasiewicz won 46% of the she got 46.4 and Kelly got 24.2. She got more votes combined, like more votes than Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro combined, mm-hmm. which... Obviously, you can't rest on your laurels and predict what that means for April 4th.
No, exactly. No. Agreed.
But at least initial analysis is showing a more liberal-leaning electorate than voted even in 2022,
wow.
a couple of months ago. And this was coming from Charles Franklin, who was from, we love Charles, Marquette Law School poll director. And... you know, certainly some of the count. I mean, there were certain counties that you think of either definitely as purple, if not red, where she just outright won.
Yeah.
And I'm interested for looking to dive deeper into either Charles analysis or other pollster type data people on what this potentially means as far as was it the fact that she was already ahead in funding and so she had more commercials? Is there so much more organizing happening amongst liberal groups, or is it just that people are fired up because of the issues that are on the ballot?
I would love to read those numbers because, you know, most Republicans don't stay home on any election.
Yeah.
I mean, they just go out and vote, go back to doing their thing. But I feel like this is one where we've really made it a point. I'm a liberal. I'll say that. I'll say it. I'm not afraid. that, you know, from the last election, from the midterms, we were like, don't get comfortable. See you in a couple months. let's get this going. And though I have definite internal problems with a judge's race, I feel like Janet, who had to run a race, ran a very strong race, raised a lot of money, like allowed Daniel Kelly and Jennifer Doro to be the story on the paper while she just did the work,
mm-hmm.
you know, like kept it real simple, real straight ahead and did what was needed to be done.
Well, and also didn't shy away from talking about values.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like it's this weird scenario of there's no reason that there would be this is going to smash records for how much money is going to be spent if the people who were spending that money didn't have an invested interest in how they know that these people are going to rule.
You bet.
Right. And so we can they can hide behind, well, she, you know, pointing fingers as far as her not saying how she's going to rule, but saying this is what I believe,
yeah.
because we all know this is what's at stake, right? And so you can, in an ideal utopia world, would it be like this? No, but it is. And I think that is in her favor, but the fact that she's already talking about what we all know is to be true, which is whoever wins this seat is going to be the deciding vote on when the abortion, the criminal abortion lawsuit gets to the Supreme Court. Could be the deciding vote on the presidential election in 2024 and could be the deciding vote in potentially overturning our current gerrymandered maps.
We have a text from the 414 at 844-967-2789. Judge Janet rocked yesterday. The only problem is today it's back to ground zero for both candidates. If Kelly tries to personally attack, it will turn off voters as it may come across as attacking the nice lady in the neighborhood. She had a good campaign and needs to keep the pedal to the metal. Thank you so much for checking in.
The nice lady.
The nice lady.
The lady. I don't disagree with that at all, but I will say this is with the, I mean, it's sort of like watching Tammy Baldwin in the early days of running for Senate. Just stealth, head down, moving forward, keeping all the haters off of her shoulders and running. And I feel like
similar haircut.
Yeah, there you go. But I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, when the judge Protasevich got the results, was like, all right, cool. Let's get back to work now. You know, like I don't see if she was going to run such a powerful, strong moving forward campaign. I have no doubt that today it's like, all right, we got to kick it doubly into gear.
Yeah. Unleash the Kraken.
Yeah. Unleash the
Kraken. Money Kraken. The money Kraken that's about to descend onto all of us in, yeah. I mean, how many text messages have you already gotten?
Barely any.
Oh, I've gotten like 10 in the last week.
Mostly mine are like, hey, Kevin, are you still in New York?
Not Kevin.
Not Kevin.
Do you ever play with, like, do you ever play along?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Is there any more that we have to say about the Supreme Court race? Otherwise, when we come back, we can move on to the Senate. Go ahead.
I just think it'd be interesting debate to look at Janet's record of judging versus Daniel's, as Daniel's has barely any. So,
and we'll have a month to do that.
Yep.
So maybe we should prepare for next Wednesday. We can run down records, and most of his record is going to be working for the Republican Party.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Look at Ballotpedia, people. Look at Ballotpedia.
And so, all right. When we come back, we'll talk about it. Is nodal? It's not canodal. Which is, I was really saying, it's so much more fun to say Dan Knodel than Knodel, but I was corrected. It is Dan Knodel. He did win last night, the Republican.
In this house?
Yes.
It's Knodel.
I'm just like actively going to say his name wrong.
Yes.
All right, come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. A big storm system's pounding the upper Midwest with snow and blizzard-like conditions. Melvin Carter is the mayor of St. Paul, Minnesota.
We are bracing for what is likely to be one of the largest snowstorms in Minnesota history.
It's expected to last several days. In Warsaw, President Biden speaking to a group of 9 NATO allies as the war in Ukraine rages.
As NATO's eastern flank You're the front lines of our collective defense, and you know better than anyone what's at stake in this conflict.
The president labeled Russia's plan to suspend the last nuclear arms treaty with the U.S. a mistake. The jury forewoman in the Trump election case in Georgia says indictments against more than a dozen people were recommended.
We definitely heard a lot about former President Trump. When this list comes out, there are no major plot twists waiting for you.
But Emily Kors won't say if charges are recommended against Trump. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. In Wisconsin's 8th Senate District, Republican Representative Dan Knodel moves forward to face Democrat Jody Habush-Sinikin in the April 4th general election. Knodel defeating fellow state rep Janelle Branchon and Thienesville Village President Van Mobley last night with more than 50% of the vote in the three-way race. The GOP seeking to hold on to a supermajority in the state Senate. That gives them the power to remove impeached state officers. If Habush-Sinikin wins the election, she'd be the first Democrat to represent the 8th in 30 years. And the next round of wintry weather is on the way. Southern Wisconsin expected to see a wintry mix to start, followed by freezing rain turning to sleet as you head towards Madison. Areas to the north will have snow and plenty of it. Clover already reporting over 3 inches of snow with 2.5 inches on the ground in La Crosse and Rhinelander, and more on the way. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matnair. He is Greg Bach. Thank you for listening on this, you know, pending gloom, storm, whatever we're calling
storm,
it.
Stormpocalypse.
But wherever you're listening, whether it's on the Civic Media app or streaming or on a radio or a podcast, thank you for joining us today. Now, Jane, any updates on roads or weather?
Taking a look at this really, really useful website that you should use as well. It's 511wi.gov, and that will show you the entire state and where the accidents are. And right now, we just have a couple. So there's one around Madison and a couple around Milwaukee. Everything is out of your way, so nothing is blocking the roads right now. But as I look at some of these traffic cams, 9441 around Kenosha and Racine and Pleasant Prairie, it looks like the visibility down there is not very good. So what do we like to tell people?
We like to say if your wipers are on, your lights should be on.
Bingo, Kristen.
Did you know that?
No.
Dude, that's a law.
It's a state law.
Oh, my lights are always
on. You really don't listen to the show except on Wednesdays, do you?
Do you know what my life is like?
I don't.
Yeah, it's busy. I'm a busy human being.
You're in the car. You
I got like 98 jobs.
I know, but don't you drive back and forth from Kenosha to Milwaukee?
I do.
What do you listen to when you're doing that drive?
Audiobooks. I want to be informed. I'm sorry.
What audiobook are you listening to right now?
I just started Constance Wu's memoir.
Yep. She, I'm assuming she is the...
From she's Fresh the Off voiceover. The Boat?
No, no, I'm saying she voices it.
Yes. She. Yeah, yes, I love a good memoir where they read their... Like Dave Grohl's really good. Mel Brooks is really good. So yeah, I listen to audiobooks because I'd like to be informed about things.
Well, we're insulted.
I just want to share a quick text that just came in at 844-967-2789. And we were talking about the results from last night. And then we admitted that we unfortunately pronounced Mr. Nodal's name incorrectly.
Which it feels like we don't. Is there any confirmation on how you pronounce it?
I haven't seen anything. I did some checking yesterday. I thought we were right with Knodal.
I thought we were right, too.
But texter from Doc says, I suggest you continue saying Knodal until he says Democratic Party. Democratic Party instead of the Democrat Party.
Oh, does he do that?
A lot of them do now.
Yeah.
That became a trend over the last, under the former administration.
Well, that's a good segue. Well, first of all, it also just reminds me of the word caboodle.
Oh, caboodle.
Which caboodles. Is a young girl I own many of.
Mom, where's my caboodle?
All right, so let's talk quickly about the State Senate District 8 race where he won. Janelle Branchon, despite the somewhat subversive efforts of the Democrats to try to bolster her, thinking that she would be easier to beat in the general, Dan Knodal did win. And now it is going to be him versus Jody Habish-Sinikin. And I think this is another area that is trending. It's red, but it's trending blue.
It is.
And she seems like a really strong candidate, as far as especially for the demographic of that area. And again, what's at stake in this race is whether or not the state Senate will have a supermajority.
Yeah.
And as Dan Schaefer, who will be with us at 12:30 today to talk about the Brewers Stadium, something besides the election. But he was with us last night when Jane and I anchored from 7 to 8 for our special election night coverage. And I just totally lost my train of thought.
Can I say one thing? I am beyond disappointed that Janelle Branchon hasn't come out and screamed voter fraud yet. I mean, let's continue the legacy of baseless claims after you lose an election. What, did you completely lose your mojo, Janelle? Come on.
Come on, Carrie.
Get back on that it's all fraud. I was robbed train.
But she's still, I mean, so there's no, she can just go back to being a state representative. With no power, because basically Robin Voss, Chucklemeister, resident Chucklemeister.
My favorite, he's my fave,
has demoted her from off of any committees whatsoever.
I just think, I'm disappointed in her.
You should let her know.
Oh, I'm not.
You should write her an email and let her like, office know of like I'm really disappointed that you just believe the election results.
You just rolled over and accepted obviously fraudulent results. What the heck happened to you?
You got to put in the email. You just like. I'm not mad at you, .. I'm just disappointed in
you. Oh, yes.
Oh, just take the knife, turn it while you're at it. Just.
All right. Well, then there was also some primaries for some of the bigger cities in their mayoral races. Mm-hmm. And so in Green Bay, incumbent Eric Genrich did win, which is great. And then Chad Weininger, who is the Brown County Administration Director, Republican, even though these are nonpartisan races.
Right.
He also won, so that will be... And I know less about him. I mean, I know Green Bay is... The city of Green Bay leans left, but the area of Green Bay...
The larger Fox Valley?
Yeah. Is certainly... Yeah. More Republican. And so
that's Ron Johnson's backyard, right?
Yeah. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how... I mean, obviously the incumbent... always has an upper hand, but I think he's pretty well liked, isn't he? From what I understand,
as far as I know, I don't know if you're in Green Bay, 844-967-2789. Let us know what, you know, what is the feeling about your current mayor.
And then in Madison, Satya Rhodes Conway, the incumbent, is also moving forward, as is Gloria Reyes, who is a former Madison school board president and former Madison deputy mayor. And I don't know if that was expected as far as her being a pretty close front runner, but I think Satya is pretty well liked.
Yeah, I think Satya,
as far as how much she has been able to do.
Yeah, I feel like it's her race to lose,
yeah,
if you will.
And then your old stomping ground,
Racine. Yes,
Racine. What can you tell us about the election results there?
Corey Mason and Henry Perez, Alderman Henry Perez, made it through the primary. Jimmy DeMatthew did not. So it's going to be in April. It's going to be the incumbent, Corey Mason the fourth, up against Henry Perez, and very different styles. Henry is a Republican, a conservative. Corey is a liberal. So it will be an interesting – I will be tuning into the debates on that one too.
Is he liked? Because we're seeing, I mean, because I would assume what's interesting to me is you've lived in both. You now live in Kenosha.
Yeah.
You used to live in Racine.
Yeah.
The counties of Racine and Kenosha,
mm-hmm,
purple.
Yeah.
But like the districts as they're drawn,
correct,
is basically for the, they've just like circled Racine, yeah, and Kenosha together and then put the rest of the counties together, which makes no sense. But, you know, I think we hear kind of, especially with Kenosha and everything that happened with Kyle Rittenhouse, and there's like sometimes, yeah, things come out on the county level of it was Kenosha, the Kenosha County, that you now can, like, in all county buildings you can bring a gun in, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And so as far as the city goes, do you feel like the city leans more left?
I think the city leans more left. I think the same, both Kenosha and Racine, like you said, both cities lean left, but Racine has a very blue collar, like, factory feel to it still, because even though those factory jobs have been gone for a long time, it still retains that feeling when you're in Racine, like, you know, the old days.
Mm.
And one of my big things is Racine is very not, they don't change easily. So it's hard to push change on. I'm not saying that as a bad thing either. I understand, you know, Racine has, you know, people like to make fun of it. I think Racine's a beautiful city. And I don't like anyone making fun of it because the people who live there are great. And, you know, as far as Corey goes, Corey is Racine's son, in my opinion. Like, his family's lived there for a long time. He's a sitting state representative. He was an alderman. It was just a matter of time before he became mayor. So the idea that he won as handily as he did does not surprise me at all.
We have Steve on the phone checking in from Green Bay. We were talking about that
Bay
mayoral race. Thanks for joining us, Steve. What do you want to say?
Hey, guys. Great content, like always. But I just want to say, you're right in the assumption that Eric Genrich, in general, is pretty well-received around the city of Green Bay. I'm a resident myself, and he's done a lot of different things for the city, got the city through the pandemic. However, there's one thing that might kind of trip him up a little bit. He's currently looking at a lawsuit for putting cameras with microphones into our city hall. And not posting that, there's a lot of people in the city that aren't happy that they're being secretly recorded without being known. And now there's a lawsuit about that. I also want to add one more thing.
Okay. I also want to ask Steve when you come. I say that, but I also want to. What was his defense of why he did that?
So from what I've heard so far, from the news outlets in the Green Bay area, is that they've reached out for comment from the mayor and have not gotten any back. So I'm not really sure his thoughts on that.
What else did you want to say?
I do want to say his opponent, who won last night, he was going door to door for yesterday's vote. He actually knocked on my door, and I'm a registered Democrat, and left a pamphlet with us. So he's really getting out into the city and making himself known, you know, making known what he wants to do. Roads in part of Green Bay are in horrible shape, and he's really kind of running off of, you know, the current mayor has not done enough for the infrastructure in the city, and I really want to make a difference on that. And I think that will strike a chord with a lot of the voters in the Green Bay area.
So he's running on Fix the Damn Roads? Which is fair. But I think it's, thanks so much for the call, Steve. And I think it's interesting because that stuff matters. And this is the stuff of local governments that you really feel like, who's going to pick up the trash and who's fixing the roads? But it's also keeping in mind the limitations of what any mayor and any city council has been able to do with such a shoestring budget and, you know, being really hamstring. And this is not a defense of, it is a defense of all mayors and all municipal governments
because of the lack of shared revenue.
Yeah, the lack of shared revenue. And so things that you expect them to be able to, you know, that they're supposed to handle, they can't handle because they don't have money to do it because, you know, because of Act 10, because of the fact that the police unions weren't touched in that. So they continued, like, I mean, this was Dan Devine when he was on, mayor of West Dallas, said, we start in the red for our annual budgets because so much of it has to go to police. And so it's one thing to run on those things that feel popular, but it's another thing to actually look at the money available and be like, well, maybe we can't do this.
Yeah. Another thing too, that I don't know if it's still happening now, but when we got into office in 2009,
in Racine.
Yeah. The shared revenue was cut, as well as projects, road improvement projects, things like that were being cut, postponed, canceled because those cities didn't vote for the people that they felt like they should be voting for. I mean, it was very well known that Madison, the assembly and the Senate were going to take it out on those who didn't vote for them.
Yeah.
And that sucked because we got the phone calls. And yeah, how do you explain to somebody like, well, here's, I'm going to give you some nuance in your anger. That always
works
well.
You're not good at that?
I'm really, like, when you come at me yelling, I'm really good at just presenting a lot of nuance that really quells the
How are you good at hearing nuance when you're angry?
Very good at it.
Yeah.
Because I always know that when I'm angry about something, it's like, dude, just look back in my head. I'm like, shut up, dude. You sound like an idiot.
All right. Well, also, just keep in mind, as we said in the first segment, this week, a Dane County Circuit Judge, Rhonda Lanford, did deny a request to push the two initiatives, well, one, the cash bail constitutional amendment, and the referenda on criteria that one must have to receive welfare. So those both will be on the ballot. So we will continue to talk about those over the next 5 weeks until the general. And so, yeah, we will still, any other thoughts, you're still welcome to text them in, 844-967-2789. And when we come back, Corey Hartman will give us an update on the storm. And just quickly, we'll see. Maybe he'll surprise us. But Joseph McClear asked, will Corey Hartman be singing Sunglasses at Night live in the studio? I don't think he is, but maybe we can get that for some bumper music.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I mean, I've been wondering it this entire time.
Which Corey Hartman are we talking about? All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Come back.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Hey, son.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm warning continues until noon tomorrow. Overcast skies this afternoon with a mixture of sleet and freezing rain likely. High of 30, winds out of the east, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, mixed precipitation likely, 28. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through tomorrow with another inch Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I really wanted to just listen to that whole song for the rest of the segment.
I was going to ask, did your little heart start beating harder right there?
Yes. I was certainly in my late 20s when that song came out, and I probably listened to it for a month straight, lip-syncing it on my like walk to work every day.
Did you have any bad breakups like around that song where it like inspired you and you're like,
oh, yeah, I actually did.
Let this cartoon guide my way.
We have to get to Corey, but... Welcome back. As Goes Wisconsin, I'm Kristen Vry. She's Jane Matnair. He is Greg Bach. We are keeping you updated throughout today's show on the pending snow that is coming. Thus, let it go.
Yes, from Frozen.
Never afraid of the cold, whatever the lyrics are. Jane, how are the roads looking?
Okay, we do have one closure. So this is near Bloomington. This is northwest Wisconsin, right along the Minnesota border, it looks like. Southbound Wisconsin 35 is completely closed beyond 385th because of a crash. There are a couple incidents again around Milwaukee and now Kenosha. Looks like everything there at least is out of the way. So these things are off on the shoulders. But this is not expected to get any better.
No, not at all. We're just hoping we can get home.
That would be nice.
It would be nice.
Otherwise, there's a nice hotel down the road.
And here to tell us more about whether or not we might be able to get home, or at least how bad it's going to get, is Mr. Corey Hartman. How you doing, Corey?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're having fun this morning. So what can you tell us about, you know, as we are a show that airs across the state? I've seen the maps. They look like a bag of Skittles, which, you know, are usually my favorite, but I don't think I'm going to like it today. And so what can you tell us about what weather across Wisconsin is going to look like?
Yeah, if only this weather was as tasty as a bag of Skittles, but unfortunately not there. No, the entire state of Wisconsin is pretty much under a winter storm warning for, you know, the central part of the state is going to have the heavier snow. There's a couple of counties up by Ashland, Wisconsin, that are actually under a blizzard warning. And then the southern tier of counties under an ice storm warning. And that's actually where the worst weather is right now. As I'm looking at the radar, some sleet and freezing rain has made its way in to the areas near Janesville, Monroe, over to Elkhorn, and then stretching over toward the Racine-Kenosha area. And the heaviest sleet right now is falling just north of Janesville. So if you're kind of in that area here today, that is, Rock County over toward Greene County. That is where the worst is right now. But that line is going to continue to move throughout the day and form. And as it moves its way northward, that is when Madison to Milwaukee is going to get in on some of that mixed precipitation and sleet and all those fun things. But as far as the snow is concerned, I mean, we picked up 6 inches in Mauston, a few inches heavier than that further north, and that's where the heavier snow is going to be, basically from Sauk County, Columbia County, over toward Washington County, and northward is where the snow is today. So it really is kind of a mixed bag out there, and it's going to get worse as the day goes on.
And so as far as driving conditions, when you say the different kinds of precipitation, what are the different considerations to take in? So us driving home in southeast Wisconsin, be more careful of ice versus visibility, because obviously what felt so terrible last Thursday for Southeast Wisconsin was not necessarily that the roads were terrible. It was that you couldn't see anything. And so as far as kind of advice on, depending on what's predicted, what to expect, if you have to go on the roads, what to look out for?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the traffic cameras out there now. Visibility is fine, you know, as far as driving conditions are concerned. The absolute worst is going to be that freezing rain and the sleet, because that's going to make things extremely slippery. So about the southern one-fifth of the state is where we are going to see that over the next couple of hours. But then, you know, as the heavier snow gets here, as the winds pick up as we head into the afternoon and into the evening, those gusts 40, 45 miles per hour, that's when the visibility is going to decrease. And then, of course, it's after dark. So that just, you know, adds more fun to everything. But, you know, really the Dodgeville to Milwaukee to Kenosha triangle right now is where the worst driving is going to be.
Oh, no. That's where I live.
Greg.
I know it. I'm a 45-year-old man, because the whole time I'm sitting there terrified. Like, oh, what is he going to say? What is the magic weather wizard going to say next?
And so this, Corey, this is supposed to last until midday tomorrow, right?
Yeah, about noontime tomorrow, then things really will taper off quickly. The possibility of precipitation, the snow, and mixed precip really trails off as we get into the early afternoon tomorrow. So this is not going to be a long-duration thing, thankfully. And then by the weekend, you know, we're talking about highs in the mid-30s to mid-40s. 40s by Monday with rain.
This is the third week in a row this has happened, isn't it? It's the third week.
It is.
Yeah.
Where it's oh my gosh, snowpocalypse. Then by the weekend, you're like, oh my God, who wants to go tanning?
Well, and yeah, Corey, and this been, is. Oh, go ahead, Corey.
No, I was just going to say, it's been kind of the Wednesday, Thursday time frame too. So this week, last week, and the week before. So yeah, you're exactly right. Three weeks in a row, the same part of the week and the same type of storm almost.
But this is something, it's one thing that we can see the skittle bag that's across Wisconsin, but this is the whole country. I mean, my parents and my brother right now are in Palm Springs, jealous, but they had like a windstorm last night, and the videos my mom was sending, and I don't know if that, I'm assuming that has to do with the storm that's basically coming over the entire country.
Yeah, it's a big area of low pressure with a lot of wind energy, and so there are wind advisories from, you know, eastern Texas, eastern Oklahoma, all of Louisiana, all of Arkansas, all of Mississippi, stretching over into the Tennessee Valley.
Wow.
I don't know if it should make us feel better that we're all miserable, or, you know, it's just kind of shared suffering, I guess.
I don't feel bad for anyone, you know, in Palm Springs.
Yeah, I don't think we could feel too bad about anybody that's above 50 degrees right now.
That's true. All right, Corey, thank you so much for checking in with us. I'm sure either us or other shows throughout the day will check back in with you as we have updates. But thank you. Thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Happy to do so.
All right. Do you still got some more Frozen for us to take us out, Jane?
You bet I do.
All right. Well, this will wrap it up for the first hour, the 11 o'clock hour. When we come back, a little bit of a Norfolk, East Palestine update. Because, you know, grifters are going to grift, whether it's Trump or Ron Johnson. Never take a tragedy for granted where you could make some money off of it. And then Dan Schaefer will be here at 12:30. But for now, we will be back in a minute. Take us out, Jane, with that lovely Disney jam.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. I got a friend.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And they...
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.